Welcome to Woman on the Go. My name is Fee Modderman, health and fitness passionista and mother to three young children. And each week I bring you inspiring and motivating stories from women just like you and I to help you discover how to create the balance of being the absolute best version of yourself in this modern day world whilst juggling the everyday life of being a woman on the go. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let's get moving. Hey everyone, we are in the home of Sarah Wickenden. And in true mummy fashion, her toddler Audrey is fast asleep, we hope.
So, I hope so too. I hope she stays that way.
So Sarah is another mum that I know of that comes to my fitness boot camps and things. So I invited her to, well, I invited myself to her.
She did.
Today.
She rocked over here unannounced.
to come and share Sarah's story. So Sarah, can you tell us a little bit like about you? Because I don't know enough actually about you at the moment. Like who you are, how many kids you have, your family at the moment.
Yeah. So I have to say now I'm in my mid-30s. Just as of a few weeks ago, I have to say I'm 35 now.
Yeah.
And I'm married and I've got two children who are still quite young. So my eldest son is 3, just turned 3.
Yeah.
And my youngest daughter is 20 months. Yeah.
So how many months apart are they?
They're 16 months apart.
16 months apart. So a lot of going on.
Very intense. But I think now we've reached quite a good stage with them. Like now I'm very happy that they were quite close together.
Yeah, and was that, you chose to... That
was, you know, everybody asks the same question.
I mean, and I feel like I can ask because mine were 3 under 3, and so I was asked the same
question. And that would, if we'd had one more, like that would have been us, but we never would have gone there. I think with our son, we wanted to have our son. We were incredibly lucky that it just happened immediately, and I know, like, obviously that doesn't happen for everybody. And with our daughter, I was very obsessed with actually giving our son a sibling because I didn't really have any siblings growing up. Oh. I have a half-brother and he's 7 years younger than me.
Yeah.
So I was very, it was really on my mind. I really wanted to give him a sibling. We weren't thinking quite so fast, but we did want to give him one. It just happened faster than we thought.
Okay. So can you tell us like how you grew up like in terms of your family life? So you've just mentioned you've got a half-brother, 7 years younger. So what was it like growing up in your family? Were you guys sporty?
We weren't sporty, no. We lived on a farm for a lot of my young life. So when my mum remarried my stepdad, I think I was like 5 or 6. And so he had a huge dairy farm.
Okay.
So we lived there for a long time. And then we actually moved to the Coromandel by the beach. And we lived on another farm there. And so, yeah, that was kind of my life. But in school, I was never a sporty person. I was never picked first for the team. I was never picked last, but I was certainly never picked first. And I actually would say I had like a mild anxiety around sport and PE. Like I would be that child if I could. I would get out of it. I would love to have a note to get out. I just think I didn't have the confidence and I wasn't that good at it. You know, like I'm even now, I'm not very coordinated. I think like when you're exercising as a child, that's what it's all about. You know, it's about being in a team and it's about being coordinated and kind of that sort of thing. So I think that's sort of like where my anxiety lay around those kinds of things.
And did that carry on like all through like teenagers?
Yeah, all through high school.
As well?
Yeah, I just wasn't really interested in sport or anything like that. And I really wasn't interested in exercising, to be honest, until I was probably about in my mid to late 20s, like around 27, which is when I probably joined my first gym.
Yeah.
And I really started to think about my health in that way a lot more.
So growing up though on the dairy farm, being in Coromandel, which if you don't know, Coromandel is beautiful beaches.
It is.
Stunning. Were you outdoorsy though? Were you out on the farm a
lot?
Yeah,
I will say this. I mean, obviously, I think for all children growing up in our generation, you know, we spent a lot more time outside, you know.
True.
I mean, there was no devices, there was no Netflix, there was no internet, there was no computers, like whatever was on TV in the middle of the day, you couldn't watch your favourite show. I mean, you know, you watch the same,
3 o'clock.
Same movie a billion times, you know.
Yeah.
So I think in that way, it was a childhood of... you know, doing what you wanted to do and being outside and really making your own fun. You know, like I think now as parents, we really on our children. We do a lot of activities with them and it's kind of like, especially when like my children are young. So I wouldn't just spend a morning at home with them necessarily. It's like they want to be doing this and they want to be doing that, you know. Whereas I feel like when I grew up, we had to use our imagination and do our own thing.
Yeah,
you know?
And so you did enjoy being outside.
Yeah,
and stuff,
I loved being
like,
outside.
Active in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I certainly wouldn't, like, when athletics days came and that kind of thing, I didn't enjoy those types of days.
Yeah, so yeah. The sort of organised sport, not your thing, yeah. but just being generally outdoors, being busy.
Yes. That was love, you. Like riding a bike yeah. around, you know, in the days when you just could freely ride your bike and it didn't matter. And
yeah. So growing up then, like, if you're not into sports and how, you know, often sports, it's about your image as well.
Yes.
And so did you grow up, like, what was your body story that you grew up with in that terms? If you weren't thinking about sports.
Yeah.
How did you grow up in terms of how you thought about how you looked and how you ate and how you moved your body in that way?
I think body thing, weirdly, I've never really had any issues like that. Even like going through my pregnancies, all of that kind of thing, it's never been something I've been worried about. And awesome. As a child, it just, you know, I was like I've never been a petite person or a really small person. I never ever will be, and I've always been fine with that. So I guess I just sat kind of in the middle, and it was not something I gave a lot of thought to be honest. I think around food, we lived in a household of the old school way, you eat every single thing on your plate before you leave. And I think I've learnt from that in the way that now I don't want my kids to have any thoughts around food. So, you know, if we go to a birthday party and they have a piece of cake and an ice cream and this and that and this, that's okay. It's just one day. It's not a huge deal. You know, and the next day if they only want to eat cucumber, then that's fine too. So it's just sort of like, I definitely learned from that, is just like normalizing food and not making this kind of food really special that we only have on a special occasion. Yeah. Because I think naturally, I mean, you look at the kids, you say, would you like an ice cream or would you like a piece of fruit? You know, it's like they know, even if it's not told, you know, if you don't tell them, they still know it's something in your brain, I think, that kind of clicks over. But I think just trying not to make certain foods so special, and like treats and that kind of thing, and just making everything normal. So everything's okay.
Kind of like on the standard plate.
I mean, obviously there are things like they would never have like fizzy drink, they've never had McDonald's yet or anything like that. But I just mean like normal types of food. Like that's okay. Yeah.
And so is that the way you have lived your life now? Do you think, or always?
Not always. I think probably everybody could relate to the fact that when we're younger, like in your early 20s, you're sort of like binge purging. You're not it's not a good sort of situation. But yeah, as I've got older, I don't really mind. Like I don't have any issues around food, you know. Like I don't eat really, really healthily, and I also don't eat unhealthily. I just kind of eat in the middle. And if I really feel like, you know, having a few bits of chocolate, I have it. Doesn't worry me.
Yeah, so you don't struggle at all in that area in terms of like
no. I've also never like been on a diet or like done any fads or anything like that. Like that's just not me. Like I just kind of feel like, you know, I am who I am, and as long as I'm healthy and I'm comfortable in the skin that I am, I'm never going to be a size extra small, and I'm fine with that.
So how do you think that you've arrived at that mindset? Because every other person, every other woman I talk to struggles with the way they look, they struggle with eating, they struggle with guilt and judging themselves. How do you think that you have dodged that? I'm genuinely curious to hear.
I think it's just in a part of your mind. I mean, definitely growing up, you know, like my parents and everyone around me, I never had any body shaming. I was never bullied for who I was or my body. I was never really bullied at all. Again, like I wasn't really, really popular. I was just kind of in the middle. But I just never really felt those kinds of pressures. So I always just felt love for who I was, and no one ever once said, oh my gosh, why are you eating that, or, you know, anything. Because I think in a young person's mind, that can escalate into something else. Like even if it's a flippant comment by someone you barely know. I don't know, and I just feel like I'm in charge. So mentally I'm in charge, so if I feel like I'm going to be guilty about doing something, well then I just wouldn't do it.
100%. Like I think you're at the point where a lot of women would love to arrive to already, and I mean, what a blessing to not have to have had that struggle through life and know that you are in charge. And that's exactly right. It's not control. Control becomes a whole set of rules around diets. You've got to control things, whereas you're in charge. Exactly, you're in charge of your own thoughts and things. So is that a big value that you're going to pass along to your children?
I hope so.
And your daughter?
And I hope so. The same, like I said about the eating thing, just it's just normal. Like it's okay. Like, you know, just don't worry about it. I mean, I don't know what body type she will have. I don't know, but I hope that she's surrounded by people that don't care. Unless, obviously, I do agree that if it gets to an unhealthy point, that there would be some intervention and some kind of you know, I also believe that some people, their genetic makeup, you know, does make them bigger than other people or whatever. I know that it's also in controlling of what you're doing with your body. But if she ever got to an unhealthy stage, I'd hope that we could intervene and just in a nice way and try to guide her in the right direction that, you know, she may need more, you know, eat more healthily than others, for example. Some people can eat, you know, fast food 24/7 and they never gain any weight. It doesn't mean they're healthy on the inside, though, but, you know, it is a weight factor. That can be how it is. So
you said in the before that you're neither like super healthy food eating, but you're not bad eating. So how do you keep that balance? You know, like some people really struggle to be prepared. I mean, what do you need to do to make sure that your family eats as well as you do?
Preparation is really the key. And I do think...
So what do you do to prepare then?
I just think... it does take a lot of time, honestly. Like, I mean, I'm probably, now that I've had kids, I'm probably more organized than I've ever been. I can't stand living in a mess. Like, it all stems from that kind of stuff. So it's the same. Like, I just think I dedicate time. So on a Sunday, I'll dedicate time. So we get our shopping delivered, for example, because that helps me not to get to the checkout and be like, what are these things? Like, last minute purchases. It helps me to plan the meals better because I can, in my mind, I can go through what meals I'm having and shop in that way rather than having to shop like meat, veggies, like in that
and so
kind of way.
You plan it mentally. Do you write it down? Like, are you?
Sometimes I do.
Okay. Yeah. So mentally plan.
And then, so we get it delivered, like normally on a Friday night or a Saturday morning, and then on a Sunday we dedicate, you know, a couple of hours in the afternoon to making the kids' lunches for the next 2 days.
Wow.
Making like a massive salad that we're going to have on Sunday night with something else, and then we can have again on Monday night, like that kind of thing. So just like eating something that's the same two nights in a row, you know, by mixing it with a different protein or whatever it is, just trying to be more organized.
So how often do you work then? You're a working mum?
So I work at the moment 3 days a week.
Okay, so are they part-time or full-time hours?
Full-time
hours. So how do you balance the preparing of the food and things for those days? Is your husband here to do it, or how do you make it work?
I will say he is super supportive. So, you know, he's very helpful and he's really, really hands-on with the kids and picking them up and helping make their lunches and that kind of thing. So, again, I try to just do everything in two-day slots.
Gotcha.
So if I've already got prepared on a Monday when I get home, I already have prepared their lunch for the Tuesday, so I don't need to worry about that because I've done it on Sunday. And then on Monday night, I also don't need to worry necessarily about what we're having for dinner because I just need to, like, add something to the salad that we've already done. And then sort of it starts again on a Tuesday. So on a Tuesday, I'll make their lunches for the next day and sort of start it again. So yes, it's still preparation, it still takes time, but it's just not doing it every single day.
That's such a smart idea. I never thought to do that. See, this is why we're having this discussion, so we can all figure out
for you personally.
That's awesome. So how do you fit in, like, if we shift away from food and exercise, because obviously I know Sarah from boot camp, so tell me then, we know that you weren't sporty growing up.
No, I was not.
So what happened at 27? You mentioned 27. What changed at 27 that you became, you joined a gym, did you say?
Yeah, I did join a gym. Once I finished uni, in my early 20s, I worked in Auckland, and then I actually went over to the UK, as most New Zealanders do when they're in their 20s or early 20s. Yep, everyone does it. So I lived in London for a couple of years, and they were amazing years, but it was all about working, traveling at every single moment that I could, and drinking heaps and heaps and heaps of beer. Like, that's pretty much what it was about. And so I think once I got home, I sort of felt like, cool, I'm growing up now and I've done all this kind of stuff, and I got a good job when I came back through someone that I knew, and it was sort of just felt like it was my adult life sort of starting. And I just felt the need that I just wanted to join a gym and just be a bit more healthier, and I think the urge to kind of party as much as I was sort of starts to dissipate as you get older as well. And so I think I just chose to live a healthier lifestyle.
So healthier to you meant starting to move your body in.
Yeah.
And so what did you do when you first joined the gym? Did you do classes or did you do weights?
And that's how I know for me, because obviously for everybody, what motivates them is different.
Absolutely.
And 100%. I will 100% say I'm not a great self-motivator. So for me, if I can get there, that's all I need to do. And the same with boot camp. So if I can get there, you do everything else. Obviously, I have to put in the effort, but I can come there like with 2 seconds to spare, getting there just on time, and I don't have to prepare anything or really even mentally prepare.
Yeah.
Same with classes. I also found if I wasn't doing classes, I would never do a full 45 minutes or an hour. you know, like I'd leave before then. Also boredom. Boredom is a huge thing, I think, with people that exercise. You know, like you could be really into something, but if you go for a run every single day, there's only so much that you can kind of do before majority of people would get bored.
I was going to say majority. There's a few of us that are bored.
A few really crazy people. So I think I found out about classes. At first, I was actually too nervous to go to classes. I mean, I think this is a massive thing.
So how did you get over that? That's a huge thing that stops people from getting started. So what did you do?
In any aspect, even coming to boot camp for the first time, you become quite apprehensive. And I think that apprehensive feeling comes from feeling like everybody's looking at you when the reality is nobody cares. Like, that's the thing about the gym. You think, oh, there's going to be all these beautiful people there and everybody's going to be coordinated and I'm going to be the person going right when everyone else is going left and, you know, and that kind of thing. But I think you just have to, if you do it one time, you will realize, and then before you know it, you will be that person bowling into the gym, not looking at anyone, going straight to your machine or straight to your class and knowing exactly what you're doing. It happens really quickly.
Because the thing is that you do feel that, and I've heard that so many times, that you feel like everyone's going to look at you, but reality, exactly like I said, like nobody's looking, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Everyone's in their own little world, trying to do their own little thing, probably thinking the same own little thoughts.
Yeah.
Until they feel comfortable.
I mean, when you go to the gym or whatever, like when I'm at boot camp, do I look at other people? No, I don't, I'm sweating. There's so much sweat in my eyeballs, I can't even open them.
Children come straight from wearing gorgeous makeup on. We give a shit for looking amazing.
Everyone's looking at me. That is when people are looking at me.
But that's about the only time.
But yeah, you do realise that nobody is looking at you and everyone's on their own journey, and you know, there'll always be someone fitter than you and there'll always be someone that's not as fit as you, and that's majority of the time it's the way that it is.
So how do you motivate yourself to get out the door? Because okay, so people can go to classes and they can say, yep, I'll enjoy the class, but then they still can't motivate themselves to actually go and do it. So they get over, maybe they get over the initial fear, they've gone and seen it, but then they can't carry on. So how do you motivate yourself to carry on and keep going to classes or keep coming to boot camp or something? Like, what is it? What's the drive?
I think this is funny. Part of it is it's time away from the kids. Like, that is the truth. Like, once you have kids, you realise that a holiday is going to boot camp at a really terrible time between 6 and 7 p.m. when they've got to be bathed and have, like, go to bed. I don't know. I think the thing is, if you stick with it long enough, you will start to realize how much better you feel. And for me, that's the motivation. So I think initially, like when I've been at times in my life when I've been really, really unfit, like for example, when I started back at boot camp and I, you know, I just had two kids in quick succession, and I'd actually gone to the gym in my first pregnancy right up until I had my son. But, you know, getting back into it, you do feel really unfit. And I feel like people talk about this amazing experience you have after the exercise and there's all these endorphins, you feel happy. But the reality is for people that are maybe starting out in a really unfit, it can actually make you feel really, really tired. And I think that can put some people off and they start thinking, I'm not feeling these amazing feelings I thought that I would. Whereas the more fit that you become is when you do start to get those good feelings.
So how long do you think it took you to get past that stage?
I think it will always be kind of come and go. Like, I think some days you will just feel so tired. Like, that's just part of who you are. That's just what's happening in your life. It's what's happened. Yeah. It's how much sleep you've had. It's how much water you've drunk. It's just your emotional state, all of that kind of thing. But I would say in general, probably took me at least like maybe 6 weeks to 2 months to start feeling really like I've got this. Like, I can do it. I can start kind of pushing myself a bit harder now. I'm starting to feel like this is a real pattern now, a real routine that I can't live without.
Yeah, and, you know, often people, they'll try something for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and they, this is really interesting hearing that 6 week to 2 month thing from you, because 4 to 6 weeks, and that's when people kind of stop doing things.
Yeah.
Whatever they try, like whether it be exercise or a new diet or a musical instrument, they give up after about 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool to hear that if they just persevere, just that little blip over the hill, that hopefully they get that good feeling afterwards.
Yeah.
So what's been the payoff for you from you know, getting your fitness back now that you're a mum? What are the payoffs?
There's just so many. I think, you know, I think a lot of people look to fitness as weight loss. And while that can obviously occur, I think most people with a logical brain will probably know it's more of a percentage of what you're eating rather than how much you're exercising. So I think that In that way, though, it has the flow-on effect. So if I'm going to boot camp and I'm feeling fit and I'm feeling better, because my ultimate goal about boot camp wasn't to lose weight, actually. Yeah. Like,
what was it?
Obviously, it's just about feeling that...
that's what it is, though.
What do you like?
Tight feeling.
Okay, that's what it is.
It's like,
it's not about
feeling flabby. It's just about feeling like, yes, obviously it would be great to lose some weight, like I said, but like I also said, I'm never going to be an extra small, and I'm totally fine with that. Whilst it would be good to get back to my how I felt at my wedding before I had kids, that would also be great, but I don't care because my body's been on a total transformation.
Absolutely.
And it gave me two amazing children, and I'm not obese, so I'm fine with that. But yeah, I just think that when I'm fitter, it flows through to your whole life. You feel like you want to eat better. You know, you feel like you do have more energy. And I know, again, that's something when you first start, you feel like, I'm so tired. It's making me so tired. I don't have more energy. I've got less energy. And now I'm expending even more energy. So once you get past that, it just makes you feel better. And I think mentally, like I've not had any mental health issues, but I just mean everybody, and whatever, if you're a mum or you're working or whatever it is, there are days when it's just bad, you know, when things are hard and, you know, your kids just beat you and it just is what it is, or your boss is just not being cool or whatever it might be. And it just gives you that release of feeling better, you know, that just like kind of like it puts everything into perspective. And sometimes all you need is 1 hour away from whatever's going on, and you can come back with a completely fresh mindset.
Reset button.
Yeah.
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 That's awesome. And I think the fresh air, like you exercising outside, and probably links back to your childhood, preferably outside, and all of those things help as well, and the chemicals. Yeah. So Sarah sent me some photos the other day, was it yesterday, day before, about her lunch, and showed me she was so proud of her lunch and the cucumber sushi that she gave her kids
today. So. I ate some pills, delicious, by the way.
So in that way, like using the exercise to start the catalyst for other changes. If you're needing to make dietary changes, then for you, it's been something that helps sustain that.
Yeah.
Like you said, you've never been too worried about it or obsessed about it, but it just has that flow on effect.
And it's a real... it's a real starting point, because it's a tangible thing that you are doing, you know. So if you're trying to start by eating better, it's cool, you might go like a few hours and eat well, and then you kind of already fall off the wagon. But I feel like if you go to one exercise class or whatever it is, it's a tangible physical thing that you have done, it is completed, and so then you can kind of move on from there and sort of let it flow through from there.
That is such interesting. In all my time, I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
That you start it, you finish it, tick that box, completion. I did well. Right, what's on the cards for tomorrow or the day after? And you can plan it in that way. Whereas food is so much harder.
It is.
Because it's something we have to do to sustain ourselves. We've got to do it multiple times a day.
Yeah.
It never ends.
Yeah.
Like it's...
And it's also... Yeah. You know, like I don't have like a great willpower when it comes to food. So like I said, as I've just got older, it has naturally happened that I want to eat more healthily and that I feel better and that kind of thing. But I think the other thing is, you know, trying to make so many extreme changes. That's why I've never been a fad dieter or anything like that. But I'm not knocking that. If that's what works for you, then that's fine. But I just think trying to do something that is just not sustainable is just going to end up in failure. Absolutely. And it leads to people giving up. So, you know, for me, I said, cool, my ultimate goal, the very least, is I want to exercise twice a week. That's all it is, in 7 days. And obviously to a lot of people, that's not very many times. And if I can do it more, it's such a great feeling, because it's like I've done it more than my goal. But if I can only do it twice, I'm still happy because I've reached my goal and I'm happy with that.
So what happened this week? Tell me what happened this week. You didn't come to boot camp.
I didn't come
because
to boot camp.
Why?
actually, I will tell you one thing. As I started off Monday, my boss at work had a, she goes to the gym, and she actually, they had a, you know, every... when they start their new classes, they say bring a friend. So she said, do you want to come with me? So I went with her. And exercising on a Monday, I think, is also really important, because mentally we start our life on a Monday. But what happened is on Tuesday I had to work from home because we had some people in our office, and I thought, you know what, Tuesday night I'd normally go to boot camp, but I thought, you know what, I've actually can start work early because I'm not commuting and I can go for a run. And I've been trying to, like, because in New Zealand it's summer at the moment and we've got a longer daylight hours, we can run, you know. I wouldn't run once it got dark in the winter, so I thought I'm going to make the most of it and go outside and go for my run during the day, so that then tonight I can spend the time with my kids and do that kind of thing. And I think without having boot camp and without having that kind of process and routine, I never would have done that.
Going for that run.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I thought that was awesome. It's so amazing.
Yeah, like, but I messaged me and I was like, I'm not coming to boot camp, but it's good. It's good reasons why.
But like that whole thing of like one thing spurs on the next thing, and you feel capable in yourself and okay, let's try the next thing.
Yeah.
Versus it. Stuff that feels so far away it's unachievable, but you need to start small and build it up and
now look, it was Tuesday afternoon and I'd already exercised twice in that week already, and it was only 2 days in, and then that leaves me so many more days to exercise and not have that pressure of like, am I doing it, you know, when can I do it and that kind of thing, or am I going to let myself down?
Yeah. So how do you prioritize yourself? How do you, this is one thing that I know so many women struggle with, mums struggle with, how do you make sure you are a priority?
I'm just selfish.
In your own life.
Like, I'm just selfish. No. Because this is the truth, and this sounds terrible, and there's a lot of different makeups of families and two dads and two mums, or single mums or single dads or whatever it might be. But in our family, the mum is the most important. Yes. And if I'm not happy, if I'm not happy, literally nobody else is happy. Because I'm a driving force when I'm not happy. But that's the truth. You know, I'm not happy. It I work 3 days, but the other 2 days I'm with the kids in the week, and then obviously my husband's home in the weekend. But if I don't have the energy for my kids, then they're not having a good experience either, and probably neither is my husband. So if I don't prioritize what I want, there's no point being a martyr and try to go on and on and on. And he's also supportive. Like, I just say to him, this is, you know, through my pregnancies, especially my second one, I found it very hard. I didn't exercise really, and I found it was a struggle. I was really sick and all this kind of thing, and because I'd been exercising a lot beforehand, I found it really hard in the gap between when I had my son to after I had my daughter, because obviously my son was really young and I was trying to, you know, learn how to be a mum and all this kind of thing. And so when I got pregnant again and I was not, you know, loving it, you know, I said to my husband, once this is over, I want to prioritize my health again, and he's been really supportive in letting me do that.
So it is like what I kind of think as well, is that the mum is the foundation of the house. If the family is the house, you're the foundation. Cracks start to happen in the foundation, i.e. mum, everything else starts to crumble in and can ultimately fall apart. You think you'd, like, some people I think they're doing the best by putting the kids first and the husband first and things, but then they are run down, they are feeling second best, they are not putting their health and things in front. So it is for you, you've figured it out, like, kind of the secret to success is putting yourself first. And you use it as selfish, but I actually don't think it's selfish.
Yeah,
I think it, you know, like, I know what you're saying, but I think it is what just needs to happen. Yeah. And why can't you come first sometimes, you know, when the time rises? So if you had like one biggest piece of advice for all the other mums wanting to get a healthier lifestyle, eat better, move their bodies, you know, what would it be? What's your ultimate piece of advice? Putting you on the spot here.
I think the ultimate piece of advice is don't think in blocks of time. We think in blocks of time. So in the morning, if I wake up and I have one M&M, then I write off everything in a big block of time. You know, like, I might write off an entire week if I'm not motivated, you know. Don't write it off. Just think of every single thing as one experience. So I miss boot camp then. That's fine. Don't think you can't go for the rest of the week because you just missed that one. That's okay. Tomorrow's another day, or in 5 minutes is another time. You know, don't because you've eaten one bad thing, just continue on and on and on till the end of the day and just write it all off or whatever it is. You know, just like, it's all not reversible, but you can, you know, you can kind of keep going with your plan even if you fall off the wagon for whatever reason.
That is incredible advice, and again, I've never heard that before.
But we do, as humans, I think that we do that.
Yeah.
And I think just the second thing, this is totally unrelated, but spend less time on your phone.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's a huge thing.
Something I'm still needing to work on.
And so am I. I'm totally guilty. My husband will say, you can't, you know, practice what you preach kind of thing. But I'm trying. I think that's a huge thing. It's not motivating.
Thank you so much for your time, Sarah.
And again,
thank
me.
You for letting me into your beautiful home.
I hope that
helps someone. Yes, Audrey is staying asleep.
Yay. Yay. She stays that way.
Thanks so much.
No worries.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend, subscribe over on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you are listening. Leave a review and tag me on Instagram with your biggest takeaway from this conversation. What did you learn that you can apply to your own life starting today? The next thing you need to do is head straight to www.thehealthylife.co.nz to sign up to your free 2-week trial of my home workout program, The Backyard Bootcamp, to help you prioritize exercise into your own on-the-go life so that you can spend time for you, gain your energy back, and feel confident in your body. Have an outstanding day, and I'll see you in the next episode.